Coming up, Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse. We'll analyze the big Supreme Court decision yesterday. Oh, stay tuned.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
All righty, here it is. Penny Dean, how are you today?
Well, you know what? I've had a darn happy 2 years. You know, first we have Heller. Now
yes.
We have this. You know, what more could, in my lifetime, we've waited for this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just finally the time that what I call the fellas and ladies in black robes finally acknowledged what I thought was the obvious.
Well, yes. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And it was it's a very long decision. It's something I haven't been able to read through yet. It's about 214 pages long, I believe. But
it's pretty lengthy.
Yes, it is. But I understand. But it is a good read, though.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. And I'll tell you what used to. Here's what I tell people. Just because a judge doesn't say it so doesn't make it so or not so. So for years and years and years, I argued with other lawyers. And they say, no court has recognized, right? And
yep.
I said, look, just because they haven't recognized it doesn't mean it's not right. All it means is they haven't said it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally we have Heller and we have McDonald. And so it's really wonderful for me to say to other lawyers, well, now that people in black robes say it so, is it so? You know, because there's,
yes.
I tell people there's legal and there's right. Just because something's legal or illegal doesn't make it right or wrong. There's still, to mm-hmm. me, larger moral issues. And particularly when it comes to firearms, which is really a human right to defend yourself, it's really gratifying to see the court, even though it's 5-4, I would have loved to see a unanimous decision. And surprisingly, Sotomayor said, you know, she's with the minority. And that's such a shock to us because we all thought she was such a Second Amendment advocate, you know?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. You know, during her confirmation hearings, we were like going, look, we've got all her opinions pre-written. All she's got to do is put her name on them. No, no, and no.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, if you will, those of us who are in the naysayer category were right because her opinion clearly shows, you know, her thought is that this is just reasonable regulation.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and I tell people that what people consider reasonable regulation depends on your financial status. For example, I don't know how many of your listeners have Massachusetts non-resident license to carry, okay? And it used to be it was bad enough you had to mail order it. You had to pay $100 a year. They would issue it on the date of application. So even if it took them 4 or 5 months to issue it, you basically lost those 4 or 5 months. Because they issued it from date of application. And then they got better. They started issuing it on the date they really issued it. So you got a full year for your $100.
Okay.
But now they have a new system whereby you have to go down to, what the heck's the town I went to yesterday? You have to go down to Massachusetts. Let me find the name of the town. I hate it when I'm somewhere yesterday and can't even remember where I was. You literally have to go down to Chelsea and do a personal interview as well as going through all of the things.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, so I applied in March. There was one officer kind enough to go, oh, my gal, you applied in March and you haven't had your interview yet, and was very kind enough to let me go down there.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is this is now June, right? It's going to take the FBI 6 weeks to check my prints, the same prints they've checked every time for 10 years. They haven't changed. Okay. They haven't changed, okay? So it's going to take them, and now they send my name around, which has to be manually checked, to all the boards of mental health and the mental hospitals in Massachusetts to make sure I haven't been a resident of any of these particular hospitals.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. And so here was a good question posed to me yesterday. Let's say, goodness forbid, because this will never happen to me, that I had an eating disorder. You know those skinny anorexic women?
Yes.
Okay, what if I had anorexia or bulimia? You check your, most people check yourself into, it's considered a mental health disease, okay? So you would check yourself into one of the, you know, mental health facilities in Massachusetts. So let's say I had had or been treated for bulimia or anorexia. How would that bear on whether or not I could carry a firearm?
Really?
No, think about that serious question. There is a real high rate, especially young women who have bulimia and anorexia. And it's really a horrible, horrible disease, and they are treated in mental health facilities for that condition.
Hmm.
Okay, so let's say that I don't even know where the mental health facilities are in Massachusetts, but let's say I'd been a patient at one of those mental health facilities. So when they go to check my name, they find, oh, yeah, Penny checked into ABC Mental Health Facility. And so the question is, let's say I had bulimia. How should the fact that I checked into a mental health facility for bulimia, why or how should that restrict me from carrying a firearm?
Right, exactly. I mean, you're not in there because you, well, said, I want to kill somebody! No,
it wasn't
anything like that.
Right, I'm not in there for any of the normal reasons. The only thing there is, you know, I want to weigh 50 pounds like Twiggy does or whatever the heck it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the bottom line is you say to yourself, at what level is this decision, McDonald v. Chicago, going to hopefully, it's going to take years and years and years and a lot of challenges. The fight certainly isn't over.
No, because Chicago Mayor Richard Daley already said he's going to put a whole bunch of restrictive laws in place. Yes.
Absolutely he does. Well, I don't know if any of your listeners have followed the D.C. case. Dick Heller, I believe, has had to file again.
He did.
What D.C. did was say, okay, yeah, you got it right. Yeah, we're going to make it so difficult you'll never want to exercise it.
Uh-huh.
And they basically put unreasonable roadblocks in place. And what I see McDonald v. Chicago doing as a practical matter, which is why we really needed McDonald v. Chicago, is it's saying to the states, look, if a person has a right to do this and you make the exercise of that right so financially daunting, okay, or so physically daunting, you basically are saying they don't have a right, and we're not going to allow that. Because, like I said, for example, me yesterday, okay, how many people, average people, can afford to take half a day off work to go for an interview for a license every year?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of money for an average person to take a half day off work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in tough economic times where people are losing their homes. And so the bottom line is, and especially, for example, I've held a license there for 10, 11 years. With absolutely no incident, no charges, no arrest, no, you know, anything.
Right.
And so the question is, why do I have to go through the entire thing? Because what I do each time is give them a copy of the same file and application that I've done every year for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, nothing's changed. And so the bottom line is, in this particular case in McDonald, I think what the court is saying to the states is not only is it applicable to the states, and by implication, it's applicable to cities and municipalities because, for example, in New Hampshire, as you know, licenses to carry are issued by your chief of police.
Yes.
Okay. So the bottom line is we as a resident don't obtain our license to carry from the state police as a non-resident would. And I think this decision is going to say, by implication, the municipalities and the towns are, if you will, baby creatures of the state. They are creatures as part of the state, and thus the Second Amendment applies to them as well,
mm-hmm.
which means you can't be messing with people's rights. You know, I see the most interesting decision, which at the time I thought was very wrong, that New Hampshire decided was the Blyler decision, Eli Blyler, in 2007. I don't know if anyone remembers that decision. And the members of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee, many of them that had originally passed RSA 159-6, which is New Hampshire's license to carry statute, were outraged that the Supreme Court had upheld the revocation of Mr. Blyler's license. Because Mr. Blyler has no criminal history, didn't do anything wrong, and it was basically at the whim of the chief of police.
I remember this, yes.
Yeah. Do you remember that? And if you look at the whole story there, that simply was because this chief of police, in my opinion, didn't like his politics. He didn't like the fact that Eli was questioning the chief's salary and a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
And pension system, and, you know, just a bunch of what I call local politics. And so I see this, most importantly, as giving individuals a federal court option. In the past, this has been a state issue. So, in other words, Mr. Blyler had to stop at the New Hampshire Supreme Court. With Heller and McDonald in place, I see individuals who are wronged by their chiefs that the New Hampshire Supreme Court doesn't want to give them the redress that they are entitled to, being able to go into federal court and say, look, the U.S. Supreme Court has absolutely said that the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution is applicable, and therefore you have a right to sue. You will have a right to sue in federal court.
Yes. I like this. Yeah.
Yes. It absolutely gives a person another option or an additional option, which is huge. It's huge. Because in New Hampshire, the Supreme Court, sadly, at least in my mind, has not been nearly as protective of firearms licensees as I would have expected the law requires. I've been sadly disappointed in their decisions, very disappointed. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I have to say that Mr. Blyler raised every procedural and legal issue that he could have done. His attorney did a good job in the brief in raising all those issues. And the Supreme Court just waved their hand and said, oh, none of these matter. You know, the trial court took care of all this, and the chief in his, you know, great wisdom and discretion thought this man shouldn't have a license, so he took it away. So what's the problem?
Yeah, right.
You know, and so the bottom line is, you look about McDonald, the court did an even more exhaustive history and explanation in McDonald than they did in Heller. I was actually quite impressed.
The Heller was the D.C. case. McDonald is the Chicago case, just for anybody who was starting to get confused.
Thank you, yes. D.C. Heller and Chicago is McDonald. And I think the court really began to lay it out here. They looked at the Heller decision as being, okay, this is the bedrock. You know, we haven't had a decision like this or similar to this subject matter in decades. And now that we've laid the bedrock foundation, we can expand upon this and tell the individuals basically what they're doing in this is a roadmap, in my mind, to the courts, to the trial courts, to say, this is how we see this playing out. This is your guideline. This is your roadmap. This is your checklist to say, are the actions of the state or the county or the municipality allowable?
All right. Well, 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number. You're welcome to join this conversation at any time with Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. Before we take our time out, Penny, Mark from Concord wants to join the conversation. And Mark, how are you?
Very good. How are you, Bulldog?
Good. You're on with Penny.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Is this going to change the rules for carrying concealed weapon over state lines?
You know, that's a good darn question. Here are my tentative thoughts, and of course the Supreme Court in another month could tell me I'm wrong. I don't see that's going to change that, because even though people have likened licenses to carry to driver's licenses, saying, look, our driver's license is given full faith and credit in all the other states, and the answer is yes, but you still have to apply or follow the motor vehicle laws in that state. There's speed limits, anything that's different you have to follow. What I see of this doing in the next 10, 20, 30 years, barring some sort of federal legislation, is I see it making it easier and more reasonable to obtain licenses to carry in other states. And from my perspective, that is really, really helpful to me. I see that making it so that you cannot make it so onerous that a person is virtually prohibited from getting a license to carry in other states. That's what I see it happening. For example, the what I call the Massachusetts experience, the Rhode Island experience, the New Jersey experience, the Maryland experience.
Oh, I was going to bring them up.
Yeah, and there's a few places that is virtually impossible to get a license to carry until recently, the Hawaii experience. I see it making it much more reasonable for law-abiding citizens to get licenses to carry. And that, what I see them doing as a practical matter, and this will probably take decades, is uniformizing, if there is such a word, the laws. For example, you know, even though there's variations in speed limit laws, most states have similar speed limit laws. What I hope to see happen is places like Massachusetts basically repealing 99% of their laws, which are unnecessary and draconian.
All right.
So you have to have a license in Massachusetts for pepper spray, for goodness sakes.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they must have fun on college campuses with all the girls that dangle it around their keychains and stuff. I wonder if they ever stop and frisk them.
Oh, is that a mandatory one-year jail sentence for a weapon also?
Yeah, it's just a horrible, horrible thing. Blade length for years. Boston had their own blade length rule. You know, it's just what I also see this, or I hope what we'll see happen, is statewide preemption. For example, New Hampshire has statewide preemption when it comes to firearm laws, which means only the state can pass regulations pertaining to firearms other than normal zoning. In other words, businesses, towns are able to zone like they are for any other business, and firearm businesses are treated like any other business. But for the overall laws, only the state can make laws, and they have other states who have them county by county. And this is the example I give people. I live in Merrimack County. Can anyone tell me with absolute certainty what the borders are for Merrimack County, what roads? Yeah, tell me when I cross to Hillsborough County. No reasonable person knows that. And the bottom line is some states have laws, firearm laws, county by county. How can any reasonable person comply with those?
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, Mark, did that answer your questions or give you some good insight?
It gave me some insight. No hope, though.
I understand that.
Well, sorry, there are those of us, and there's two different camps, who actually don't want a federal license, because there are some other negatives that would come with that. I think what you were hoping for is you could get one license that would be good in all the 50 states to carry a firearm.
Driver's license.
Yep, like a driver's license. Here's the concern that I personally have with things like that. New Hampshire has, what, 1.1 or 1.2 million people? California has, what, 40 million? I forget the recent population numbers.
That would seem about right.
Give or take, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want New Hampshire-style rules for getting licensed to carry or Massachusetts-style rules for getting licenses to carry?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because we're going to have a nationwide criteria, right? Okay, so which criteria, and you have to think about the last election, do you want Democrats who are in power making those decisions?
No.
Yeah.
I hear you. Well, yeah. Mark, I've got to run because I have to take this time out before I get in trouble with the clock. Penny,
hang on,
okay?
Hang on.
All right, Mark,
Thanks. Good talking to you.
Take care. All right, Penny, more Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.